Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We use the word miracle very loosely and commonly to a young man and his girlfriend seated by the beach observing the sunset. They might use the word a miracle to a first-time father seeing the birth of his first child. That's a miracle. To the gynecologist, it's no big deal. The word miracle is used very loosely and commonly. And so, in our age, in our time, we still do. But the issue for our consideration is miraculous gift. That means we have to go to the Bible for the definition of the word miracle. And when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that the definition of miracle must always have these 3 points. Not 2 out of 3, must always be 3 out of 3. First, it must point to something far more than the miracle itself. That's why it is called a sign or a wonder. So the miracle is not the key message. It points us to something like a sign, a road sign. This is the name of a particular street, Choa Chu Kang Street, Choa Chu Kang Lane. The sign is not the street, the sign is not the lane. It points us to that street or to that lane. Second element, it must be supernatural. That is very important. Not only must it point us to something far larger than the miracle itself, it has to be something that is supernatural. It is not against nature, but it is superabound. It is above and more than just nature. For example, we know that when a baby is in the mother's womb, it takes 9 months for the eyes of a child, for a baby to be in its fullness, for all the cells to take its time for it to grow and to become, to form into a real eye. But when a blind man stands before Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ be healed, supernaturally, instead of 9 months, this dead cell that was in this eye of this blind man suddenly will be healed and he'll be given sight. So instead of 9 months, it can be instantaneous. A man's limbs has never experienced walking before, born lame. But suddenly, by the power of God, this man, his legs will be given new strength, new muscles, and then he will be able to walk. No need for physiotherapy. Supernatural. Third, the source must be from God. Because Satan can copy and imitate miracles. That means Satan can also do miracles. Remember, the magicians of Pharaoh in the days of Moses, they were able to copy the first few miracles until the miracles became too powerful and they admitted, we are not able to copy this. So please note that Satan has the power to do miracles. He is not a weakling. In the Bible, you're going to find 3 main epochs of miracles where there is a record of a lot of miracles. The first epoch in the time of Moses, where there were a lot of miracles done by God through Moses. Primary purpose, Israel had forgotten Jehovah. They had been too long in the land of bondage in Egypt, and God did not reveal himself to them, no record, after Genesis chapter 50. And by the time God opened the new scripture in Exodus chapter 1, 430 years have come and gone. And so they have forgotten Jehovah. And so God had to introduce himself all over again to his own people to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. So the miracles done then was to introduce himself, whereby the faith of Israel, the faith of Moses, would be strengthened and deepened in the process. The second epoch, in the time of Elijah and Elisha, the main problem in Israel, they have hyphenated the worship of Jehovah with the golden calves. The golden calves were designed and created by Jeroboam, the first king of the divided northern kingdom. And after many, many decades of worship, the worship of the golden calf had become a tradition. And so when they stand before this golden calf, one in the north, one in the south, in Dan as well as in Bethel, they said, Jehovah, 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 in front of this golden calf. And so by hyphenating Jehovah with the golden calf worship, God sent Elijah and Elisha to do miracles to show them that there is a clear difference. Remember the challenge of Elijah versus the 400 plus Baal prophets? They lost. And the challenge was simple. If the one who can do this miracle, he must be the Lord. Let Israel worship the one who can do this miracle. The Baal prophets cut themselves. They cried over and over again from morning till evening. Nothing happened. Elijah just simply uttered one short, simple prayer, and fire came down from heaven and licked up all the miracles, plus the waters that Elijah used to douse this miracle, this animal, the offering. The third epoch, in the time of Christ and the apostles, and this time round it was because of the pride of sin, the sin of pride. The people were so hardened in their hearts because of the traditions, because of the Pharisees, because of the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin council. They thought they had it all. They thought that they already had a foot in heaven because they observed on the laws and the traditions. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to introduce himself. I am the Messiah. They rejected him. They crucified him. All the three epochs does not mean that there were no miracles in between. In the time of Daniel, there were miracles, but not as numerous as these three epochs of miracles. So miracles are very common throughout the scriptures because they reveal to us that we have a powerful God, a God who lives and worked in the lives of his people as a witness and a testimony to the world that is in sin and spiritual darkness. So there is a clear purpose why God gave us miracles. And because there are false miracles and there are false prophets, there are false miracle workers, God has to give us instruction to teach us, to warn us. And Deuteronomy chapter 13 is the passage, first passage for our consideration. Now this passage does not answer the question of miraculous gifts for today, but it gives us a warning. Even during the period of Moses, of the first epoch of miracles, Moses was about to be taken home. The book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses in his final year, final period, final moment of his life on earth. And before the Lord took him home, the Holy Spirit inspired him and he gave us this warning. And he says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. So false teachers, false miracles, false miracle workers. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. So it is real. Satan can do miracles. Now you watch. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So by the miracles they perform, they also will have a fulfillment of point number three, or the first point. Remember the first point? There must be a message that comes with it. It is more than just the miracle itself. The miracle is a sign that points us in this direction. So they will have the first point fulfilled, point us in a particular direction, and the act is supernatural. So the second point is also fulfilled. But what about the third point? Who is the source? Is it from God or from Satan? How do we know? Evaluate. Where did they point us to? Look at the second part of verse 2. The word of God must be used to evaluate, because how do you know whether it has led us to worship after other gods? The scripture, the Bible must teach us and tell us. Verse 5 confirms. Verse 3, verse 4, verse confirms this truth. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophets or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God allowed this to test you, to see whether you are able to obey and observe the word of God, to see whether you know enough of God's word so that you will not be deceived. Now we are now talking about a period where the miracles are still very much alive, very, very real. This was before the second epoch and the time of Christ. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear God and keep your, his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve God and cleave unto God and not allow false dreamers, false teachers, false prophets, false miracle workers to come and lure you away. Look at verse 5. What do you do with such people? And that prophet or the dreamer of dreams who can do the sign, do the wonders, and these miracles come to pass, you put him to death. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee aside out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So using the word of God, you evaluate the direction, the teaching of such a person who will back up his teaching, his claims, with the miraculous signs. Don't be shocked or impressed by any miraculous signs, not even when it is real, and it can be real. So if you go and you see somebody being healed, don't be startled, don't be impressed. Look at where it is pointing you. Look at the teaching, evaluate the teaching. Is the teaching according to Holy Scriptures? If it is not, don't be impressed. Don't even be a little bit impressed, because the source could be from Satan. What better way to deceive than to do a false miracle, miraculous, but because the source is from Satan, and then they say, praise the Lord, use the name of Jesus Christ, use a pseudonym, Jesus Christ, because that's how you deceive the believers. If he says, done by Satan, nobody will be deceived. That is the agenda of the evil one. But what if this person who leads me away from Christ using miracles is my son, my daughter, the wife of my bosom, or my friend? Verse 6. You put aside relationship, even if it is your son, and he leads you astray by enticing you secretly, let us go and serve other gods. You don't listen. You correct and you stop him right now, because if you don't, your duty is to report him to the leaders. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. You will have to expose him, put him to death. How will it be done? Verse 10, thou shalt stone him with stones that he die. Who will cast the first stone? You. The one who reported him. Because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Do you know why such a strict and important warning? Non-negotiable. Israel was supposed to be the light to a world that is in sin and darkness. And when Israel succumbed to false teaching and they are led astray, where will the light of God shine? No more light. How will the world find salvation in Christ when Israel shines forth the false kind of light? And that's why it is so serious that the Lord tells us that in the case of someone, even if he is your son, you better bring your son up properly. Because if you do not bring him up according to the word of God, and he grows up and he leads you astray by whatever means, you have to expose him. You don't conceal him. Because if you conceal him and his idolatry and his evil spread, the whole family turns away from the Lord. And then the whole village turns away from the Lord. And the whole city turns away from the Lord. And then the whole tribe turns away from the Lord. You know how many people will have to die? Because very soon it will be the whole nation. And where will the world finds salvation? Because Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, the light of Christ shines forth in the world, Jesus Christ will remain to be the Savior of the world. And before his first coming, Israel was supposed to shine forth that light. Israel was supposed to live a life and behave herself as a nation whereby, by looking at how Israel lived, they're supposed to see Christ. And when one of his own Israelites, false miracles, lead people astray, and even if he is your son, you have to put him to death, and you will have to cast the first stone because of your failure as a father to bring your child up properly and you did not, and now you have to expose him and he refuses, you have to take the stone and cast it and the rest will follow. That's how serious the punishment is, because it is a serious sin. Miracles are done by the evil one to deceive, to make people think that he is a servant of God when he is in reality not the servant of God, but the servant of the devil. That's why it is so serious. Because people will die in their sin and they end up in hell. Please understand, this is what is at stake. People dying, and they will die in their sin and end up in hell. And the only time where they can make a change and make a difference, whereby they do not end up in hell, is when they believe in Jesus Christ while they are still alive in this body. The moment they stop breathing and they die in their sin, it's all over. There is no second chance, there is no change. They're going to spend eternity in hell, which is a place of great fiery torment. That's why God never over-punishes. And when God deals with this, and when God punishes it with the stoning of death or death penalty, you know God never over-punishes. That's how God will view this terrible sin. False miracle is not a joke. It's not a flighty small matter. It is very serious when people claim to be Christian, claim to be servant of the Most High God, when in reality they are not, and they deceive hundreds and hundreds of people, if not thousands, and leading them, making them think they're going to heaven, and the horror is that when they die, and that's the only time when they find out, actually I'm going to hell. But by then it's too late, they're already dead. You know the damage that such people will do to the lives of men, women and children, dying in sin and ending up in hell for eternity. That's why God enforced this command to the people of Israel, even if he is your son. You put your personal feelings aside. This topic, a miraculous gift for today, is not a small matter that you should trifle with. If it is not, then why are we seeing so many claims of the miraculous? The book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 was written while the miraculous was very, very real and common. They were still eating manna from heaven. They were still seeing the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. And God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inspired Moses to write this as a warning. When Israel was in the midst of the miraculous, warn them. The word of God must be the anchor and the foundation of all evaluation. Nothing short of it. And so this question, are miraculous gifts for today? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8 to verse 12. That passage gives us a very clear answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8 to verse 12. Now the church in Corinth had a problem, or many problems. That one of the problems is the abuse of gifts, including the miraculous gifts, like prophecies, like speaking in tongues, languages that they have never learned, but they were able to speak the word of God in another language. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul instructed the Christians in Corinth, please understand where gifts come from. Gifts came from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the first six verses. Who is in charge of who gets what gift? The Spirit of God decides. As He wills, you can't ask for any gift. Or you can ask for a gift as a church, but not as an individual. God is the one who decides. As an individual child of God, everyone is given at least one gift. Who decides who gets what gift? The Spirit of God decides. Chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 11. Verse 7, every man to profit with all, so the gift is for the blessing of others. Verse 11, as he will, the Spirit of God will decide who gets what gift. And the gift is not meant to divide. The gift is given just like the many different parts of the body with Christ as the head, it is to help the body to function healthily, correctly, wonderfully. Yes, you can pray for the gift as a church. Let's say you do not have a pastor. By all means, pray for a pastor. You do not have a pianist. By all means, pray for a pianist. But as an individual, the Spirit will decide. And please understand what verse 31 of chapter 12 means. But covet earnestly the best gift. That is for the church. What is the best gift for your church? You already have a pastor. You do not have other leaders. Pray for God to raise up mature Christians to help and assist in the leadership. By all means. Chapter 13. The motive for the exercise of gifts. What is the motive? The one motive is that of love. And so using three hyperboles in verse 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians 13, God highlights the importance of love. You can speak all the languages, including the language of angels, which is an impossibility. That's why it's called a hyperbole. If you don't have love, tingling cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, and you have everything, but without love, you are nothing. You can be so devoted and give your goods and give everything to do the work of the Lord, but without love, it profits you nothing. And then love is defined for us from verse 4 to verse 7. What's the meaning of love? And then verse 8, the Bible explains the temporal nature of the miraculous. Charity never fails. That is, the motive of love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, which people long for, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will also fail, cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall also fail, vanish away. Now these three words, fail, cease, vanish away, all the same Greek word. Same. It will stop. The difference is in the voice. You know what's the voice, right? Active voice, passive voice, middle voice. Active voice, I do the action. Passive voice, the action is done to me. Middle voice, I do the action to myself. The voice is different. In the case of prophecy, they shall fail. It's in the passive voice. In the case of tongues, it's in the middle voice. It will cease by itself. In the case of knowledge, also passive voice. Something external will cause these two miraculous gifts to cease. Something external. Prophecies and knowledge. Tongues will cease on its own. Middle voice. That means before that something that will cause prophecies and knowledge to cease, tongues will cease by itself on its own. Way before. Much earlier. You see, when more and more Christians are of different nationalities, the gift of tongue is not necessary. In the initial period, you don't have the luxury of going to some other school to learn another foreign language like today. 10, 14 years to learn a foreign language before you can penetrate into this country in this new knowledge, new language. So God had to supernaturally endow the apostles and perhaps some of the early Christians with the gift of tongues where they didn't have to go to school. They can learn a language. Now if you want to reach out to a foreign country, there are so many Christians in that foreign country who speak that language. If I have to share the gospel with my grandma who speaks Hainanese, I don't have to pray and ask God to give me the gift of Hainanese. I just look for a pastor or a Christian who speaks Hainanese, and there are many of them. Please come and share with my grandma the gospel in Hainanese. So tongues, a language that they never learned, but a gift from God, will cease on its own. Whereas these two are the miraculous gifts, that is prophecy, the ability to tell the future, all these, including the knowledge. Knowledge of what? God's word. Knowledge about the world. Knowledge about the word of God. Look at verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, from verse 9, you know that tongues have already disappeared. So now the focus is only on knowledge and prophecy. So now we know in part, now we prophesy in part. Because when 1 Corinthians was written, at this point in time, half of the New Testament had not been written yet. Not yet, half of the New Testament. That's why the Apostle Paul says, we now know in part. This book was written somewhere around 55 AD. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, prison epistles, Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Gospel of John, all these not written yet. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, not written yet. That's why we know in part, and we also prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, so God gave these miraculous gifts for a purpose. And what is the purpose at this juncture? It is until the Word of God is completed. Once the Word of God is completed, all these will come to pass. No need of them anymore. Because once the Bible is completed, you don't need to have the gift of prophecy, which is a miraculous gift, because the Bible is completed. The miracles, remember, are primarily signs to point us to something else to claim. The apostles had to do miracles. Why? Because they are the ones whom God has appointed to continue on the work of Christ after the ascension of Christ. They are the ones whom God has appointed to give us New Testament scriptures. They are the ones whom God has appointed to stabilize and to found the local church, to replace the national witness with an ecclesiastical witness. That's why they have to back up their early claims with a lot of miracles. But as they are more and more accepted by the church, as the church grew and increased with time, the miracle ceased. But these two miracles continue, prophecy, because the scripture is not completed yet. The knowledge is not completed yet. But once the Bible is completed, the perfect, that is not the second coming of Christ. This is the Word of God. You look at the context. The context is all about God's Word. Knowledge is God's Word. Prophecy, God's Word about the future. Tongues, God's Word in another language. The context is God's Word. It's not about the second coming. The second coming will be mentioned in chapter 15. Then cometh the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But this time round, it's with reference to the Word of God. The Word of God in the language of the people. That's prophecy. Tongues, the language of another nationality. Also the Word of God. Knowledge means the Word of God, the revelation of God. All these will come to pass. You do not need them anymore once the perfect is come, and that is the Bible, once it is completed. Then that which is in part shall be done away. Same word that is used in verse 8 for vanish away, for cease, and for fail. Same word. It means the same thing. Done away, no more. Don't need them anymore. And so verse 11 and 12 to illustrate. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There is a progression. In the early days, when children will learn the ABC, once they have learned the ABC, they put away the ABC. Once the prophets and the apostles have been accepted by the New Testament church, you do not need these miracles anymore. In the early days, you have to keep on establishing that, yes, I am called by God. And that's why the miracles had to be used by the apostles in the early founding of the church to establish and to confirm their authority that we are truly of God. Please understand, it was a very difficult time to start the church. They never had a church witness before. Everything was brand new. You and I know that anything in its infancy is also a time when it is in its weakest. You destroy the church, and it is the only church, it's like destroying all the churches in one go. The only church was in Jerusalem. That's it. There's no other church. If that church dies, there's no other church. Today, you have millions of churches all over the world. If one church dies, there are still millions more. If 1,000 churches die, still millions more, right? But in the early church, in the book of Acts, the only church was Jerusalem. And if that church dies, everything is all over. And so you have the apostles. And don't forget, there are also a lot of false teachers, false apostles rising up to deceive. And the worst part was when the apostle Paul came into the picture, he was not part of the original 12. So if Paul can join, why can't I also join? Well, Paul experienced in the road to Damascus, well, that is only known to Paul. So I also can claim that God also called me a lord of false apostles and false teachers sent by the evil one to destroy the early church. And if he had succeeded, there is no such thing as Calvary Pandan. We exist after thousands of years, nearly 2,000 years of the birth, since the birth of the church. Satan tried to destroy it by 1,000 years of darkness, suffocating it without giving it the word of God, hoping that it will die. Thank God, God resurrected it through the 16th century Reformation. That's what it is, the resurrection of the church that was started in the time of Acts chapter 2. So when the word of God is completed, all these, you don't need to put them away. You don't need all these miracles, these prophets. That's why the Apostle Peter says, compared to my experience of the transfiguration, the Bible, he calls it a more sure word. More sure word than the miracle that he experienced. That's why the perfect there refers to the word of God, the Bible, once it is completed. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, with partial revelation. Revelation not completed. That's why many things that we see are like seeing through a glass darkly. But then face to face. What do you mean by face to face? That means you see everything very clearly. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We are known by whom? We are known by God. So the knowledge is about ourselves. What about ourselves that we do not know right now up to this point of 1 Corinthians when it was given? So many things about ourselves we do not know, only God knows. But once the Bible is completed, everything about myself, I would also know. Is that not true? Without the book of Revelation, you and I do not know how Satan will end. Without the book of Revelation, you and I do not know how this world will end. We do not know that the world will be destroyed. We do not know that hell will be destroyed. We do not know that there will be no more death. We do not know about the New Jerusalem. All these are about ourselves, about us. But now with the completion of the Bible, everything about us, we know. It's as if we are now seeing something face to face. Nothing is hidden. Do you realize that? You know where your home is going to be. You know about the new heaven and new earth. You know about the great tribulation. You and I know so many things, which at that point in time when 1 Corinthians was written, we did not know all these things. But once the Bible is completed, the Bible says, then I shall know even as also I am known. By whom? By God. And so with the completion of the Bible, God revealed himself about us, to us. About the end of sin, about the end of evil, about the end of this world. That we long to make our home, which is a sin. This world is not our home. We do not know about so many things until God completed the scripture. We know the beginning, Genesis. Now we know the end, the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem and the tree of life. All these things have been kept and kept and kept until the Bible is completed, until the perfect word of God is completed, then we do not need any of the miraculous. But then we ask ourselves, then why are there so many claims of the miraculous today? Primarily from the charismatic movement, isn't it? They are the ones who claim a lot of miracles, not us. So what do? Even if they are real, some of them might even be real, but don't be impressed. Remember Deuteronomy 13? When those words were written in the midst of the genuine miracles, Moses already warned the Israelites, don't be impressed. You check them against the word of God, even when you are surrounded by miracles day in and day out. You check against the word of God. Anyone who comes and lure you away from the word of God, he cannot be of God. Because God will never send anyone to lure us away from God's word. Then how do we explain the many miracles that are so prevalent in our age and in our time? Thank God Jesus also revealed that to us to warn us. That one of the signs prior to his second coming or his return, Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ, that means he's talking about within the Christian faith. There shall arise false Christ and false prophets. God already warned us. Many will call themselves Christians, false Christ. I'm of Christ, I'm Christians. False prophets, but the Bible warns them when the perfect is come, no more. But here we have many charismatics who call themselves capital P prophets. Jesus warns us, in the last days, before I return, false Christs and false prophets will arise. And what will they do? They will show great signs and wonders. They will do signs and wonders, a term that describes the miraculous. Do you know what the alternative name of the charismatic movement is, coined by themselves? Signs and wonders movement. Do you know that? They call themselves signs and wonders movement. The Lord Jesus Christ already warned us. You have to be blind not to see, dear friends. So if you are part of the charismatic movement, you better get out. If you are easily impressed by the miraculous, you better open your eyes and check your salvation. The Lord warns us, you check all their claims and the teaching against the Word of God. And if you listen to their messages very carefully, you will find that they cannot be of God. I've listened to more than 200 of Joseph Prince's messages. Not of God. The theology is all upside down. Listen to more than 100 of Kong Hee's messages. Also not of God. Lawrence Kong, also. Ronnie Tan, Lighthouse Evangelism, up north in Woodlands. Also listen to his messages. Not of God. You evaluate their teaching against the Word of God. Don't be impressed by the miraculous. God already warns us. And you know the word great in Greek? Mega. Which church call themselves mega churches? How accurate do you want the prophecy of Christ to be before we open our eyes? There was never any church who dare call themselves mega. Today we have. Mega churches, great churches, that's what it means. Jesus already warned us by a name that never appeared in all of church history until the middle of the 20th century when charismatism was born. And today, they are so rampant, they are so common, they are so global. Can our eyes, who are truly born again, children of God, be so blind that we do not see? Mega, signs and wonders. And the Bible says, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That means the miracles they do will have all the elements of genuine miracles. They will fulfill point number one. Okay? Point number one. Point to something. Their claim that they are Christians, that they are of God. Point number two. Supernatural. That's what they claim. Supernatural. That's why people are attracted to them. Supernatural. And then third. How do you find out the source? Just because they say the name Jesus Christ, you and I can't be that naive, are we? If I were to deceive you, of course I will pretend to be a Christian, right? Find out the source. But how to find out the source? Go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Evaluate their doctrines. Evaluate their teaching. Because they are preaching. They are teaching. Evaluate the word against the word of God. And you will find that they cannot be of God. So why are there a birth of so many claims of the miraculous? The Bible warns us. One of the signs prior to the return of our Savior. So that means the Lord Jesus Christ is coming very soon again, the second time. And this time as judge. And that's why it is so needful and urgent for us who are His children. Go out, know the Word of God, and earnestly contend for the faith and tell the world about Christ. Because there will come a day where all these will be taken away from you. You will be gone. You will be taken up. All these will be no more. And if you are not a Christian, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and your Savior, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ now and do not procrastinate. Only Jesus Christ is able to save you from your sin, because God accepted what Christ has done for you by raising Him from the dead. And if you are involved in any charismatic movement or any charismatic church, get out. Because you are wasting your energy, wasting your time promoting the work of Satan and not of Christ. You are thinking that you are promoting the work of Christ, but in reality you are not. Stop being deceived anymore. Repent and get out as soon as possible, and don't waste one extra second supporting the charismatic movement, which is nothing but the garment and the cloak that is used by the evil one to deceive the world. It is one of the many arms used by Satan to form the ecumenical movement, which is nothing but the one world church of the Antichrist. It will come. The Bible already warned us in the book of Revelation. And the charismatic movement is one of the tools that Satan has used and will continue to use to accomplish this feat, getting the world to worship him. If you are in the charismatic movement, you know of loved ones who are inside, pray very hard for them. Pray that the Lord will be merciful. And you must know the charismatic movement from its history to its all its doctrine to all the verses they use that they have misinterpreted before you can talk to them, because they are going to use scripture to support. And if you do not know how to explain the scripture correctly, you're going to become a victim. Remember, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual warfare. You pray very hard for your friends, your loved ones, your brother, your sister, your cousin. Pray that God will open their eyes to get out. And if you are inside here now and you are part of the charismatic movement, get out also. Don't stay anymore. Whatever that is done, you cannot undo. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. You do not know. But now that you know, you cannot claim ignorance. You have to get out. Are the miraculous gift for today? No more. We have a more sure word, the word of everlasting life. And that's all that we need. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see and behold wonderful truths out of thy holy word, that we may not be deceived by the signs that you have revealed to us will surely come to pass in these last days. And one of these signs, O Lord, will be the false Christ and false prophets performing mega signs and wonders to deceive. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit speak to all our hearts, that we may continue to stand firm on thy holy word, that we will not be deceived by the evil one, for we are your children. Thank thee, Lord, for the word of everlasting life. May thou bless us with discernment and courage to always do that which is right after we know what is right according to Holy Scriptures. Defend all of us and grant us discernment and illumination in these last days. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.